Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we ponder the existence of a trilogy's second film as we look for Christian themes in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Is Captain Davy Jones an allegory? How do Will and Bootstraps make the story? All that and more in 1, 2, 3, 4-ing. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 146. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, the plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Hey, hey.
We had no pirate's life last week.
No, not last week. No, there
no
was a
show.
There was a last minute Hamlet crisis for grad school, and that had to take precedence.
Yes. So what? Tell us real quick about that.
Well, okay, so For the graduate program that I'm a student in, instead of doing a thesis, one of the options was to write 2 8-page essays, and they were called the comprehensive exam.
The
yes, comprehensive exam. Well, one of those essays I guess I did well at, but the other one not so
much.
This
is a pass or fail.
Yes, this is a pass or fail grading system. There wasn't like a numerical value. It was either you did it or you did not.
Didn't.
Or you got it or you don't. And apparently for Hamlet, I don't got it. At least for the first paper. And then again, I misread the prompt. It was
a comedy of errors.
It was leading to a
Greek tragedy.
It was no comedy whatsoever.
But you got that all straightened out.
But yeah, got it straightened out. I got that email Friday morning. And then Friday was the day that we had planned to record, but when I saw that email, my heart sank, and I was like, oh gosh, I'm going into frantic mode, because if I don't get this now, then I'll just never understand theater in my life, and I'll have to find something else.
Well, we appreciate the understanding of our listeners, the good graces of our listeners for releasing you from duties that week.
Sure. Sure. Thanks, guys.
But what did we talk about the week before that?
Oh, the week before that, we... Michael.
Yeah.
It's summer.
It is.
We need popcorn.
Yes.
So we watched Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that
Curse
was a bunch
of the Black Pearl.
A bunch of popcorn. The very first film in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And we found some great themes in there. It took some digging. But hey, you know, all you need is some muscle and a shovel.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And found some great Christian themes in there. And we had such a good time in the Caribbean that we decided we're going to continue.
Back.
Yes. Let's stay.
Yeah.
Let's stay a while.
Let's just stay.
Yes.
Let's just stay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we could be the pirates who don't do anything but watch Pirates of the Caribbean.
Is that copyright infringement?
What?
The pirates who don't do anything?
Of what? I know not what you speak.
Of the pirates who don't do anything?
What are we going to talk about today?
Today we're talking about Part 2.
Dead man's knees.
Knees? No.
Yeah.
No, dead man's hair follicles.
Yeah.
No. Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest.
You ready to go to the theater?
I am.
What is it that has Jack spooked?
How much do you know about Davy Jones?
You owe me your soul, and it's time to pay up.
If there was anything could be done.
Well, there is a chest.
The dead man's chest.
To find it, you must see it to the end of the earth and beyond.
We have our heading.
Captain Sparrow, Elizabeth.
You know, these clothes do not flatter you at all. It should be a dress or nothing. I happen to have no dress in my cabin.
We're looking for this.
The chest of Davy Jones.
What is in the chest?
When you have the chance to do the right thing.
I love those moments. I like to wave at them as they pass by.
You best start believing in salvation stories, Miss Turner. You're in one.
What a trailer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a film.
Yeah. Did you feel that the trailer bolstered the film rightly?
Okay.
Were you that excited when you watched this film?
Not the first time, Brandon.
I got pretty excited listening to the trailer.
Yes. And how did that correspond to your experience on the film? Did you see this in the theater?
I want to say I think I did, but I didn't remember that I did until the end, that ending scene after.
Should we give any?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah, spoiler
alert. Spoiler alert!
But there are probably some pockets of people in pop culture who have not seen this.
Like I was in that boat. Hey, well, there you go.
So Jack Sparrow dies.
I was in that boat.
And they got swallowed up by the Kraken.
Yes.
Jack Sparrow dies, and his crew, his loyal and faithful crew, they want to try to bring him back because apparently this is a world where such is possible. And in order to do that, they're going to need a captain who has traversed those waters.
Yeah!
And Barbossa comes back. Hey,
oh,
Barbossa!
Great. I would have liked to have seen that in the theater.
But I remember seeing that, and I think to myself, oh, man.
What a wonderful world.
What? Stop. Get out of here.
You said it, not me.
I was like, okay, I need to go back and watch. That was the moment where I was like, okay, well, this trilogy might have something to it. At the time, we all thought it was going to be a trilogy. We didn't realize that Stranger Tides was going to come out or that Dead Men Tell No Tales. I just thought it was going to stop at three.
I think they have a release date for number six.
Stop. What?
It's called Dead
It
Men,
Better Be
Dead
Good.
Dead Men Really Tell No Tales.
No, the number sevens. No, seriously. Dead Men Are Quiet.
All right. So what are your what were your impressions of this film?
Oh, it was fun. It was very highly spectacle, very theatrical.
Oh, yes.
A lot of CGI. Especially with the Davy
Cutting
Jones
edge.
Character.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We'll talk about performance here in a second, but just the graphics, just the composition of the film, it was very, very exciting, especially seeing his crew, the Davy Jones crew aboard the Flying Dutchman.
Yes.
They're the designer's interpretation of those characters.
The imagination that went into that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. It was great visually.
I think something with the Pirates films, you know, if we continue to do the whole series, which I wouldn't be opposed to.
We got started now. So
yeah,
we may
as well. It's
nobody likes a quitter.
It's
Brandon.
One poker in the fire.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
I don't even like poker. I'm a blackjack guy. But anyway,
in the fire.
The thing about the films is that there's always the one thing that is like, oh, this is new. There's like a novelty aspect. Like with the first film, even in the first film, there was the fact that Barbossa's crew and Barbossa himself were pretty much like undead zombies, pirate zombies. Even that
little creature they had.
The little monkey.
The little creepy little monkey.
Yeah, yeah. Not you. We named the monkey Jack.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see them as regular people in the sunlight, but then in the moonlight, we see their...
I'm pushing all the wrong buttons today. Say
in,
that again.
In the moonlight, we see their, you know, their skeletal figures. They're all sinewy and muscly and, internal organy and all that stuff. Like we see, they're like, oh, this is so cool. How can they top this? And then in the second film, underwater zombies.
Yes.
Excellent. Underwater zombies that have melded with the ecosystem of underwater life. Excellent. In the next film, how will they ever top that?
Will they?
Oh.
Hey, you know, Brendan, I was watching this film for the first time this past couple of weeks, and the first thought was what you just expressed. Wow, spectacle, awesome creatures and CGI and effects and fantastic acting. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But then it dawned on me as I finished watching it that middle films are hard.
They are.
Unless you're Empire Strikes Back.
Well, which is obviously the easiest middle film ever made. So.
Yes. One of the pinnacles of a sequel matching, if not surpassing, the first film. And I thought that that would give us a little bit of an opportunity because I was confused. Can we talk a little bit about middle films or the middle part of a trilogy? What sure. can we call that?
Sure. Well, in playwriting, and this is the angle that I'm bringing to the table because this is what I've been studying all summer. In playwriting, in a three-act structure, each act has a crisis and a climax.
All right.
Right?
Okay, so...
And what's...
Like in the first part, what's our example?
Well, in the first film, in the Pirates' first film, the crisis is that if Jack Sparrow is the protagonist, and...
If.
And sidebar, here's why I'm saying if, because, yes, Jack Sparrow is the constant character in these films. But are these films really about Jack Sparrow? Or is he, you know, I don't know.
Is he a vehicle to get us from point A to point B?
Is he the audience favorite? Is that why he's in there? You know, rewatching these films, it's making me really question, okay, is he really the protagonist of these films? Anyway.
But he's Captain Jack Sparrow.
But if he is the protagonist.
So we'll assume that.
Yeah, let's just, on the assumption that he is the protagonist, then the first film, his crisis is that he's being hunted to be killed. He's being hunted by a Barbossa. He's being hunted by the government, and he's being hunted. And yet his resolution, his climax, not the same thing. Sorry, his climax is that he escapes. He escapes with his normal wheeling and dealing,
shucking and jiving.
Shucking and jiving. There you go. Well, in this second film, and this is what middle parts are for, is the introduction of subplots. Now, what subplots do is that they enhance the third act climax by providing different perspectives and different angles. Now, this second film, we are introduced to the subplot of Davy Jones.
So, really, we weren't aware of how big the story was in the first part. Mm-hmm. We didn't understand the real crisis that Jack was experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. We're going to be flip flopping back and forth between the first film and the second film. In the first film, we hear Jack very very clearly say, "I just want to be free." Well. Something that humanity, at least as far as I know, at least not yet, you know, can't be free from is the physical death. And Jack has that crisis that he has to face. And then when you introduce a character who I believe allegorically personifies death.
Oh, absolutely. David Sheol. Hades.
Yeah.
The exactly. grave. Davy Jones's locker.
We'll even talk about it in the sound clips. He tries to escape Davy Jones, and he's had a deal with Davy Jones this whole time. And even in this film, we see him make a new deal for how many souls was it?
100 souls.
Yeah, exactly. He strikes this new deal, but as the movie turns out, Jack cannot escape it. Because we see him get swallowed up by the Kraken, and we see him
every year
go down
has
with the
a
ship.
December, as people say.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
You're not going to escape that.
Exactly. And so what this is going to do, since this is a middle film, And it's been a while since I've seen the third film, but I remember a lot of key points.
And I know nothing about the third film.
So I'm trying not to spoil it for Michael, but listeners, if you've seen the movies and if you've seen at least At World's End, then you know how this subplot with Davy Jones will frame the ultimate climax with Jack Sparrow.
Alrighty. All right.
So now it's like we're seeing, you know, let's eisegete some Pauline theology here.
Let's.
Right now we're seeing through a mirror darkly.
We really are, because I was confused.
Yeah, and that's the effect that it's going to have. And it may not be until after you watch the third film that you can go back on the second film and really appreciate everything.
See face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because first of all, the whole island scene where it's real clunky. It was clunky for me. Okay, they find out that that Jack is running from the beastie. Right? The Kraken!
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to get onto dry ground. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, well, here comes Will Turner and on this island, and the ship is on the beach, and then makes his way in, and Jack is amongst this tribe, and they see him as a god, but they're going to do him a favor and release him from his mortal shell. That whole island sequence, I didn't like it. I don't even know what it did for the story.
Mm.
Did it do anything for the story? Did it move anything forward?
Oh.
What?
That's the word. It's a forward.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
okay.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Listeners, you know. You know what's coming up.
Okay.
I just can't. It is a forward.
So then there was a purpose for it.
Yes.
It was lost on me in this film,
mm-hmm.
and to where I was thinking, this sequence is going on far too long,
mm-hmm.
far too long. But now that I know that I can hopefully get some kind of answer for that moving forward, then I'm cool with that.
Just the idea of a god type character being released from their mortal shell, yeah. their mortal coil.
Yes. Can run up the
talking about it. I really want to go ahead and just watch At World's End because it plays out nicely.
Well, let's do that next time.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah, let's not watch it now because we still have to talk about this film.
How about some
shout outs?
Oh, can we?
Please.
Well, first, we've got the cast that we know and love. We've got Johnny Depp, we've got Orlando Legolas Bloom, and we've got Keira Jane Austen, not Winslet, Keira Knightley. Thank you, Michael. But introduced in this film. FCC's very own Bill Nighy as Davy Jones.
Welcome back. Wait, what
from Harry Potter?
Oh yes.
These are dog times.
Okay, I could spend the rest of the hour just talking about Bill Nighy, but we shan't do that. All that I know is that I think he is a bona fide genius. He's bona fide. He's bona fide, man. Going back to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
He's bona fide.
He is. What a fantastic actor. What'd you think of his performance?
I loved it. And to be honest, I underestimated it.
Yes.
Because it wasn't until I actually watched some behind the scene footage on YouTube.
I didn't need behind the scene footage.
By the way, it's out there. Well, for one thing,
the truth is out there.
Pigeonhole the YouTube behind the scenes real quick. For one thing, there's his vocal quality. And whatever, I don't even know what accent that is that he uses for Davy Jones. I love listening to it.
Yes.
I just love it.
His quirks,
the emphasis, well, just still on vocal quality, the emphasis that he puts on things.
Well, that's a tick.
Yeah.
That's a character tick.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
That's how that's what Davy Jones do.
But then even the physical ticks.
Yes.
And you know, watching him. Everything that you see on screen with Davy Jones is CGI. There's no makeup puppeteering.
He was in a mocap.
Yeah, he's in a mocap suit.
Okay.
And in this behind the scene footage,
was Andy Serkis in it with him?
That I don't know.
That would be weird.
One suit for two guys. Yeah,
that's
not that kind of show.
Yeah,
Mike.
Exactly.
Anyway, but just seeing him, you know, you've got this sense of, oh man, he's really laying into that character. But then when I saw him in the mocap suit, unedited, un-CGI'd, that's a verb,
Sure, it is. Yeah. Hey, on FCC, you can do it. Make any verbs you want.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. I can make language in my own
image. It's your show.
Yeah.
Yes, you can create language in your own image. Yes.
But seeing him walk around in the suit, like he's actually like walking and conforming his body to the shape of Davy Jones, and he's using his right arm.
Being Davy Jones.
Yes, exactly. He's into the character, and it's so fun to watch.
Yes.
So fun.
Those character ticks are just fantastic. Everything he does, even with just his eyes and the way that he'll kind of, you know, looking looking at Jack. But then there's the scene where he comes upon Will Turner. You're neither dead nor dying. What are you doing?
You're the dead nor dying.
Yeah. Jack Sparrow sent me. You know, so
that's
dead.
One of my clips.
Okay, but the way that he just jerks his head and looks at his hammerhead shark, like second in command or whatever, just the way he does that, it was just fantastic. And so if you haven't watched this film in quite a while, go back and watch it. And just Davy Jones doesn't show up until the 1 hour mark in the film.
Yeah.
But watch him.
And there's all this talk. That's good character building, though.
From a script perspective. Because then when he makes his entrance, it's imposing, and it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic work by FCC's very own Bill Nighy. Who else?
FCC's very own Stellan Skarsgård.
As Bootstrap.
As Bootstrap's Bill.
Oh, man. I think, and we've had him, of course, he is in all the Avengers and the Marvel superhero films. He was starting off in Thor, the very first Thor film. He's that scientist guy, and where in the Avengers, Loki actually, you know, robs his mind. We talked a little bit about that, actually, when we covered the Avengers film. We also had him on Good Will Hunting. I got to say, Brendan, Stellan Skarsgård, this is my favorite thing that I've seen him in.
Really?
I think his acting in this was, I don't even know what the adjective is. I don't know. It was fantastic. That's my best one that I can come up with. Fantastic. If I say fantastic, something is fantastic.
Hey, there you go.
Okay, it's not less than fantastic.
Your compliments are not to be taken lightly.
No. Yeah. He's a great actor. A great actor.
I really enjoyed the scenes where it was he and Orlando Bloom.
Oh yeah,
those microscopic scenes, whether it's when we first see them, where Bootstrap finally professes to the rest of the crew that hey, this is my son.
Hey, that's David, part of my son.
Davy Jones is like, well, here you go. Yep. Here's the whip or whatever. Yeah, I cannot do his voice justice, and I'm sorry.
100 souls.
See, you're closer than I am. But anyway, just those scenes where you see Bootstraps with his son, and you see Will Turner with his dad, and just those scenes are very, very impactful, very insightful.
Very much so. But also the first scene that we see him in where Jack is coming down, not sure if he's having a dream, going down into the bowels of the boat, whatever that's called down in there.
Yes.
But anyway, that's part of my sound clips as well. Who else?
Let's welcome some to the menagerie.
Please.
First, let's start with Tom Hollander as Lord Cutler Beckett.
I'm going to use it. Fantastic. Yeah. That was a great performance.
Man.
His really character ticks. But watching him, watching his eyes and the way that he interacts with people, he was that character. That's some terrific acting, and I am so happy, and I'm looking forward to, I'm assuming he's in part 3.
He is.
And can't wait. He is a rascal, the one of the heads higher up in the East India Trading Company. They're more powerful than the government at that time. And he is a great antagonist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And then, welcome to the menagerie, Naomi Harris as Tia Dalma.
I loved her.
Yeah.
Her acting chops.
Yeah. Bring back Witty Jack.
Oh man! Character ticks again. Everything I would each one of these actors in this film, I would love to be able to just send them a message and just say, "You did great. You earned every penny of your paycheck on that film." Mm-hmm. What a great, exciting film. Well, I say great. It was great in the execution. Again, it took me a couple viewings to really. I mean, there's a lot of threads going on in this film, isn't there?
The subplots.
many of them.
It's just it's subplots being geared towards something. It's very anticipatory because not all questions are answered in this film. And we as the audience were left wanting to know what happens.
Well, and I was confused. I didn't even know that there were questions being posed. Mm-hmm. I was just confused on certain parts. But overall, as far as spectacle goes, top notch, great film. I'm wondering, though, in a film such as this, are there Christian themes that we can pull out? There's so much going on, and you don't know. I mean, is Jack Sparrow a good guy, or is he a bad guy?
He seems a little morally ambiguous to me.
He does. I mean, he's a rascal. You had mentioned it last time, the Commodore. What's his name?
Oh, Norrington.
Yeah, Norrington. Yes. Boy, yes. He had a
turn.
He had a big fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the scene in there where he finally gets tossed. He's a rummy at this time.
Yeah.
And they toss him into the pig sty. Mm-hmm. And
hey, that's where we met Mr. Gibbs earlier. In the last film.
Oh, he was great in this film as well. But Norrington, what does Elizabeth say to him? Oh, Jack, what has the world done to you? That was impactful. When I heard that scene, I'm like, oh, maybe there's something here to follow. But his character arc in this film didn't leave me enough to grab onto in order to... I know, you're excited.
I'm groaning because I want you to know what happens.
I will.
And I can't
next
tell
week.
Next week, yes.
Lord willing.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yes. Brendan, who's going to go first on this in order to try to pull out some kind of Christian themes?
Well, I can, because mine's just not really a message per se. It's just a sculpting of the image that this movie's trying to give.
Okay.
Especially concerning death. Now, historically speaking, Davy Jones, the term Davy Jones and Davy Jones Locker is a colloquialism for death. Yes. It was used for sailors.
It's a personification.
In the 1700s. Yes, it was. And I did a little research. It was first.
I did too. Did you get the Jonah connection?
Now that I did not know.
Jones is a really. It should be Jonah and the whale.
Davy Jonah.
Yes, and actually Davy is there's something. It's actually two names put together.
Oh,
okay. So,
I thought it originated from Daniel Defoe.
Whoopsie splunkers.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe where he got it from still harkens back to what you're talking about. But when we get back from the break, we'll talk about how in this world of Pirates of the Caribbean, it's allegory,
yes,
mixed in with historical fiction.
Okay.
And how that can lend itself to the perspective that this movie, that this trilogy, well, as you keep saying trilogy, this franchise is putting into the Christian worldview of death.
Okay, great thoughts.
Into how it sculpts those messages.
Well, you expand on that when we get... On the flip side of the break here, we got to do some news, weather, and sports here on Thunder Radio. Stay tuned for more of Finding Christ in Cinema. Brendan, we had such a good time talking about that film that we ran out of time, and once again, we had to travel back in time. That's three times.
Three times we've done this.
Yes, we had to travel back in time on our umbrella in order to do some comments here, or one comment, during our break here on Thunder Radio. Patron St. Philip left a comment on our last episode, Curse of the Black Pearl, Kindness and Redemption. That was episode number 145. You can hear that at ChristInCinema.com.
He says, hey guys, great job on the Curse of the Black Pearl. I love the production design on this film, and it stands out really well.
Yeah.
Amen. I also appreciate the theme of God's kindness repeating itself on the show so much. Wait till he listens to this one.
Yeah, stay tuned after this.
For some people, kindness seems to be in their nature. For the rest of us, it takes some effort.
Amen.
It's so important to have God's kindness drilled into our mind so that we can remember to follow his example and pass it on to the world. Thanks for the show, guys. Hashtag
Moilad Gimlet. Wow. How apropos is that comment?
That's pretty good.
For the remainder of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan, why is that theme, why is it so important for us to keep hitting on this theme of kindness, of compassion, of mercy, of charity, of grace.
Because the more we hit it, the more we might actually start to live it out.
Yeah, because Philip made a great point saying that, you know, for the rest of us, it takes some effort. You know, there are people out there that are gentle as lambs, right? And there's others of us out there that are more of the wolfish type, you know? And it is amazing because we aren't doing this consciously. Brendan, it just seems that each film that we're talking about, we just see this theme over and over again. And what a great way in order to learn, to understand that theme of compassion, of kindness, all those adjectives that we always use, what better way than to see it playing out?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus used parables. That's why he told the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking before the mics went hot today that the Good Samaritan story was in response to the question posed to him. You know, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? How does it read to you? And the response came back, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes, do that, and you will live. Not that just existence, but live eternally in quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
Well, just especially now, you know, and I keep thinking, If for some reason God has specifically, I don't know if you want to say ordained us or ordained.
It's a God thing.
It's a God thing. Like maybe there's a reason we're seeing these things, and the 12 movies that you listed already in the recording. But when this is being played,
you're about to hear
that like the last 12 episodes we've done center on this theme around compassion, and I keep thinking, well, if that is, you know, God working through us, why now? And I just can't help but think of certain atmospheres of vitriol that really just, what's the word for the growth of an infection? What's that called? The spreading,
it's a spreading of an infection.
Yeah,
yes.
There's a technical medical term that I'm trying to think of, but you see what I'm trying to say though. When in a world, and I'm not saying that this is worse than any other part of the world or any other history or any other pastime, because
it's just our experience, in our paradigm here in America, 21st century,
mm-hmm. Especially 2017. Just we see all this, and then we can. It's almost like, you know, people want to say that you can escape to the movies, you can escape the real world and go to the movie. Well, if the real world is so full of that kind of stuff, and we need ways to understand how compassion works in those stories, in these fake stories, in these fictional stories, we can better understand how it can work and how it should work in the real world.
As we are engaging the culture, as Paul did in Athens.
Exactly.
And speaking the language of the culture. Mm-hmm. There's definitely two allusions to the Greek culture that Paul used in his address to the Areopagus, but there may be as many as three. And every time he made an allusion, they know exactly what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking their language, mm-hmm. so that they can understand. Amen, brother.
All right,
let's get back to the show then. Here on Finding Christ in Cinema, talking about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dead Man's Chest.
Knees,
no. You're saying the news has been newsed, the sports have been sported.
And the weather has been weathered.
Has been weathered.
Keep a weather eye.
Yeah, there you go. On a weather top.
Oh.
Oh, wait. That's a different show.
Yeah, that's Finding Christ in... Secret Fire Podcast, which you should be listening to.
Finding Christ in the Secret Fire Podcast of Cinema.
Let's go do that show right now.
Okay.
You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema right here on Thunder Radio, your hometown station.
Welcome back to Finding Christ in Cinema, the show where we believe that all the best stories have elements of the greatest story. Even a story as fantastical and just pure popcorn spectacle as Pirates of the Caribbean?
Dead Man's Chest.
Brendan, you started talking on the before the break about death and the personification of death as found in Davy Jones and mm-hmm. Davy Jones's locker.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that overarches this franchise about death, pick up where you
yeah,
left
yeah.
off.
So in my schooling, there's this term referred to as the world of the play. What happens in this world of the play is the play, you know, and theater graduate student. So when I say schooling, that's what I'm referring to. The world of the play is what is at work in this world? What are the forces at work? Not only is this, is it a real world? Is it a fictional world? Is it a historical world?
A mix,
which is the case for Pirates of the Caribbean. It's historical fiction mixed in with fantastical ideas and themes.
Fantastical beasts and where to find them.
Yeah, well, we know where to find them. Oh. They're in the ocean.
Davy Jones' locker.
Exactly. And Davy Jones himself, the character, is one of those examples where I think the storytellers are trying to work in a little allegory.
Absolutely.
Just some allegory. You know, what can anyone
allegory?
Do?
Allegory?
Yeah. Well, that was inconvenient.
It's truth.
Oh, man. That was good.
Do we have that? Yeah.
That was good. But no, Davy Jones as the allegory of death and this whole desire for humans, for humanity, for mankind to escape death.
Amen, brother.
To get out of
You're
it.
Seeing the same thing as I was.
The city of destruction behind us. Yes. We're looking for that narrow gate.
The wicket.
The wicket gate, excuse me.
You see yon wicket gate?
I hope I do, brother. Pilgrim, course, brother.
Yes, Pilgrim's Progress is what we are referring to, dear listeners, but you know that.
But you know that. Like in the first film, like I said, I'm going to be going back and forth. In the first film, everyone's trying to escape death. You've got Jack Sparrow. You know, he's got the target on his back from the government, from other pirates.
Everybody!
Everybody.
He makes enemies everywhere he goes.
He does. Even when he saves Elizabeth,
yes.
he's responded to, oh, well, you're still a pirate, so you got to hang or whatever. And even in the first film, Barbossa. The whole reason they stole the Aztec gold, well, at first they wanted to steal it because it'd make them rich. But then when they realized that there was the curse on it, they realized that even though they had eternal life, it was eternal only in time span and not quality because they were living a half-life, a cursed life. It's like they drank unicorn blood.
They were the living dead.
They were.
Yes.
They could not be filled. They could not be satisfied with food, drink, anything. And we see that picture of Barbossa drinking the wine and it just flooding through his bones.
Yep.
They're looking for a way to get out of death. Even Lord Cutler Beckett is looking for a way to escape death because he's power tripping over the fact that, like you already said, his East India Trading Company is more powerful than even the government, than any world government at that time, or any, they didn't use the term superpower, but, you know, these political...
But he can't take any of it with him.
He can't. He wants to, and that's why he's actually seeking Davy Jones' heart, because whoever owns the heart has the power over death. But is Davy Jones really that quick to give it up? I don't think so, because Davy Jones, he too is in control of something, death itself. Which is why in this first clip we can hear his offer to those souls who are dying or are dead, and we can hear what he has to offer them.
Do you feel dead? Do you feel that dark abyss? All your deeds laid bare. All your sins punished. I can offer you an escape.
I offer you a choice. Join my crew and postpone the judgment. 100 years before the mast. will ye serve?
He's offering them an escape. These are souls that are dead or are dying, and he's offering them a chance to, what he says, postpone the judgment. It's really interesting how this film, much more so than the last film, incorporates the use of Christian terms.
Oh, yes.
You know, well,
do not look to the skies. Do not, you know, he says those types of things.
Yeah, and, you know, when Davy Jones and his pirate crew is holding a Bible, you know, it's Raggedy and, I can't think of the other pirate's name.
Spaghetti.
Listeners, help us out.
It's the Bible. You get credit for trying.
And there's so many Christian references and sidebars. And even in this scene that we just listened to where Davy Jones is offering his deal, we didn't play it in the clip, but there's the soul, you know, we'll just call him a soul, but he's a person. There's the soul that is clinging to his Christian relic. His rosary. I think it's a rosary.
Yeah.
He's clinging to that cross of Jesus on the rosary beads. And Davy Jones asks him, "Do you not fear death?" And he's like, no. So Davy Jones just kills him, tosses him overboard. Because what good is that kind of guy on his crew? Which that might have its own Christian implications, which we can get into later on. Or if listeners want to take that one.
Yeah.
They can. He's offering them a choice. Instead of dying, instead of embracing that second death, they can serve under his mast. They can serve 100 years. And it's very interesting how he offers it. He just says, "Do you simply accept?" "Oh, yes, that's fine." "Oh, good, get him in here." But then we see later on in the film, you've got these sailors, well, these crewmen that are gambling years of their service. That's the only revenue they have. That's the only anything of value.
The only capital.
Yeah, the only capital. Thank you. That's the only capital that they have is their years of service to Davy Jones. Well, later on in the film, as things go on, Captain Jack Sparrow, his plotting, his craftiness has landed Will Turner under the care of Davy Jones. And Davy Jones is going to hold on to him for 3 days, which I think your point gets into this a little bit deeper. But at the end of everything, the whole plot was for Jack to get the heart. So when the Black Pearl, I get my ships mixed up. When the Black Pearl is swallowed by the Kraken, Davy Jones is looking from afar. And he has this.
"Boy's not here. He must have been claimed by the sea."
"I am the sea."
"You need time alone with your thoughts."
"Bring one of the survivors."
"There are no survivors."
And in that scene, we happen to see Will Turner looking on through the railing of the Flying Dutchman. And he's seeing that with Davy Jones, really, and this has been the case for the whole time, no matter what Davy Jones might try to say, is that there are no survivors. And of course, you know, there's the quick camera change of their throats being slit, which we don't see on screen, but we see the implication.
Yeah,
we see the after effect with their hands. Yeah, that's the kind of world that Will Turner, that Bootstraps Bill, are trying to get away from. That's the world that Jack is trying to get away from. that Lord Cutler Beckett.
That really ties into my thoughts on the last episode, talking about Israel and being dead, being sown amongst the nations, but you know, return to me. All these people have to do is to turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that fear of death.
And it really, like I said, it paints the picture and it sets up, and it's going to bolster later on the final climax in the third act.
Okay, I'm excited.
So it's painting this picture. It's getting us ready for what's coming in the future.
All right.
Is that it? That's all I had.
That's great thoughts, because that is exactly what I was seeing as I was watching this film. And, you know, getting back to Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Bootstrap Bill here. But first, let's back up a little bit, Brendan, because this entire year we have been on a roll. And so I want to highlight a few things from episodes past. Real quick, episode number 126 was To Kill a Mockingbird. And in that, one of the things that we focused on was that Atticus Finch had the mind of Christ. How did he have the mind of Christ? Go back and watch To Kill a Mockingbird. And everything that Atticus Finch did, do that. And you will have the mind of Christ.
But Michael, what did he do?
He was teaching his children to get into the shoes of another man so that you can understand them.
Isn't there a word for that?
Empathy. Compassion.
Oh, there it is.
All right.
Starts with a C, ends with unpassion.
Tenderhearted mercy. Loving kindness.
But
the Hebrew word is chesed, which is something something that's hard to translate. But episode number 131, Arrival. Remember Lois Lane and Hawkeye were in that film, and these aliens came. And one of the things that we learned from that film was to be quick to listen, slow to speak, empathy. Compassion. We also learned to show a measure of grace.
A measure.
Episode number 133, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. You're one of us. Aren't you going to go and obliviate me? Of course not. You're one of us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in the family now. And that carried over to episode number 137, Kubo and the Two Strings. And one of the primary things that we focused on that was giving the grandfather a new story. This is your story now. You're a good person. You are one of us. Episode number 138 with special guest John Carney from the Shelbyville Times Gazette. We talked about African Queen, Bogey, Hepburn. And one of the things that we focused on that was the language of love, how they spoke to each other. You should have seen yourself, Rosie, chin held high. You're the picture of perfection and things such as that. Or you're the bravest man that ever lived. It's how they talk. The language of love. You're one of us. Episode number 139, Mary Poppins. Feed the birds. Feed the birds. Compassion. Show compassion. And by the way, Elijah was going to return in the person of John the Baptist and turn the hearts of the fathers and children. Episode number 140, Saving Mr. Banks. A spoonful of grace. What? Helps the truth go down. Grace, compassion, empathy, mercy, tender loving kindness. Episode number 143, Beauty and the Beast, The Good Samaritan. What did we learn from the story of the Good Samaritan? That was supposed to be our capstone episode of compassion. Everything was leading up to this. Well, we're going to continue on with the theme. The Good Samaritan, we learned there are two keys to that story. First, he felt it. Then he did it. First, he felt compassion. He had that moving in the bowels, or as we would say, his heart was broken, and he acted on it.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that man's neighbor? The one who showed mercy. Oh. The one who did mercy.
Yes.
This, episode number 146, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Tale, or Trust, Dead Man's, not his tail, dead men have no tails, they have chests. It's a picture, or a parable, a similitude of the Golden Rule, or, as James calls it, the Royal Law. As in James chapter 2, verse 8, out of the net. But if you fulfill the royal law as expressed in this scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Can we see that in this movie? We meet Bootstrap Bill. Is it Bootstrap or Straps?
Straps.
Plural.
Yes.
Bootstraps Bill.
He tied it on to Bootstraps.
Down in the belly of the Black Pearl. Mm-hmm. What's he doing there? First of all, Jack, who is very ambiguous. We don't know this rascally character. Is he good? Is he bad? I have my hopes and my desires for his character.
Sorry about
as
that.
As Brendan is beating up his microphone over
so
there.
So did not mean to do that.
He's being aggressive to the studio equipment here. Jack comes down. Am I dreaming? No, you're not dreaming.
And to what do I owe the pleasure of your carbuncle?
He sent me. Davy Jones.
Ah. Oh. So it's you then. He shanghaied you into service, eh?
I chose it. I'm sorry for the part I played in the mutinying against you, Jack. I stood up for you. Everything went wrong after that. They strapped me to a cannon. I ended up on the bottom of the ocean. The weight of the water crushing down on me. Unable to move. Unable to die, Jack. And I thought that even the tiniest hope of escaping this fate, I would take it. I would trade anything for it.
It's funny what a man will do to forestall his final judgment.
You made a deal with him too, Jack.
Brendan, this encapsulates the point that you made. Bootstraps Bill is in the same position as those Tortugians or whatever, those folks, those poor souls mm-hmm. that Davy Jones was, will ye serve? Serve. As he would say it. He did that. Davy Jones... Or Bootstraps Bill, as we learned in the previous episode, was strapped to a cannon, mm-hmm. thrown to the bottom of the sea. There he was, and he describes it in here. The bottom of the ocean, the weight of the water crushing down on me, unable to move, unable to die, Jack. And I thought that even the tiniest hope of escaping this fate, I would take it. I would trade anything for it, including... my servitude aboard the Flying Dutchman to mm-hmm. Davy Jones. He gave me a choice. Will ye serve? Yes, I will. In fact, Jack, you made that same deal with them. So this is the position. This is where we meet Bootstraps Bill. And it's bleak. And it's dark. Mm-hmm. And it's ugly. But we move on into the story. And here comes Will. And Will is now aboard the Flying Dutchman. And he's because Jack did a double whammy on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
His chagrin.
Yes. And here he is, Will, and in the rain on the Flying Dutchman and helping to hoist this cannon. And it starts to slip. But Bootstraps Bill is trying to grab the same rope and looks at him.
Well, the foreman says, you know, Turner, get that. And yes. they both go.
And then...
because I don't know, like, oh, there's not another Turner on the ship. It must be me.
And there you go.
And then they meet, and there's
and
that
Bootstraps
moment.
Bootstraps is looking at his son, mm-hmm. and you could see it on his face. And the cannon drops, and they're going to take it out on Will. You know, you're going five lashes with this massive, you know, cat of nine tails or whatever.
Five lashes will remind you to stay on him. No! Impeding me in my duties. You'll share the punishment.
I'll take it all.
Will you now? And what would prompt such an act of charity?
My son. It's my son.
See, Bootstraps Bill will do anything to escape that fate, being on the bottom of the ocean. Couldn't live, couldn't die. He was acting selfishly. I will serve in order to get out of this predicament. Mm-hmm. But then he sees Will. He recognizes Will, and now he feels compassion. He was moved in his heart, in his bowels. What was that that organ or that area that you
told me? The sacrum.
Yes, yeah. His sacrum was just tingling like crazy. Yeah. And he felt that compassion. That's what Davy Jones says. What would prompt such an act of charity? What is an act of charity?
Mm-hmm.
Compassion, mercy, grace. He's my son. He's my son. And as the story progresses on the ship, so Will does see these guys gambling their time of service. because that's the only capital that they have. They have no hope. Mm-hmm. They really have no hope, and they're gambling years away. 10 years of service. What? 10 years? Or whatever the time is. And he says, so up comes Bootstrap, says, you know what they're doing? Yeah, this is a game of deception. Mm-hmm. This is a game of deception. Can a person challenge anybody on this boat? Yes. I challenge Davy Jones, is what Will says.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got some deception up his sleeve. Here comes Davy Jones. They start playing this game, and in jumps Bootstraps Bill.
Mm-hmm.
The game was supposed to be between Bootstraps. Okay, Will and Davy Jones. Boom! Here's Bootstraps Bill at the table. I'm in. And they start playing this game, and they're trying to deceive each other. And finally, it gets to a point where Bootstraps Bill makes a wild claim. Everybody looks at him, and he calls out Davy Jones on it.
Bootstrap Bill, you're a liar, and you will spend an eternity on this ship. Master Turner, feel free to go ashore. The better next time we make port.
Why did you do that?
I couldn't let you lose.
Oh, I couldn't let you lose, William. I started off in this predicament when I was cast overboard, strapped to a cannon by the crew of the Black Pearl during that mutiny. And I found myself on the bottom of the ocean, the weight of the water crushing down on me, unable to move, unable to die. And I thought that even the tiniest hope of escaping this fate, I would take it. I would trade anything for it. Until I saw you. And then now I know, because that compassion, I felt it, and now I'm doing it. I will serve in your place.
Mm-hmm.
I will take your lashings for you. I will serve in your place. I will stay on this ship for eternity so that you can be free. He acts on his compassion. He's like the Good Samaritan, whatever it takes in order to take care of this poor man that fell amongst the robbers. Whatever it takes,
mm-hmm.
charge me, charge my account. But you know what? Will does the same thing. as he's about to leave the ship, Bootstraps Bill gives him that knife,
mm-hmm.
right? And that knife is very important in this sound clip. So remember that. And why did you do that, you know?
I could say I did what I had to when I left you to go pirating. But it would taste a lie to say it wasn't what I wanted. You owe me nothing, Will. I'll go.
They'll know you helped me.
What more can they do to me?
I take this with a promise. I'll find a way to sever Jones's hold on you and not rest until this blade pierces his heart. I will not abandon you.
I will not abandon you. I don't recall, was it on the Beauty and the Beast episode? One of the recent episodes where we said compassion breeds compassion. You know, these two guys, father and son, are showing their compassion towards each other. They are acting on it. They feel it and then they do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is a great picture, Bootstraps Bill, of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 12 out of the Nerzava, New Revised Standard Version. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And then he continues, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. Mm-hmm. For this is the law and the prophets. We already read James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law as expressed in this scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Those are our commandments from Christ, friends. Let's read it out of the pirate version, shall we?
The what version?
Pirate version, Yilt. Yilt.
Oh.
Yeah, Yiltish, not Yiddish. Yiltish. Young's literal translation.
The Yar literal translation.
Indeed, royal law ye complete, according to the writing, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. How was that?
That was pretty good.
Brendan, that's compassion. That is our commandment. And to watch what Bootstraps does for Will is having the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what Will does, or promises, pledges to Bootstraps Bill, is showing the mind of Christ. Any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
I think that's got it, man.
Okay, it was a hard film to do.
Are you ready for the next one, then?
What's the next one?
At World's End.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
3 at World's End.
And it doesn't matter whatever happens. What matters is that Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Saturday, Lord willing, at around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, to witness the
firepower of this fully armed and operational
digital ministry, including all 146 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema and the list of films we've covered, get over to our website at christincinema.com. Send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Or you could send us a voice line message in a bottle at 507-407-GCTN. That's 507-407-4286. Now, let's just say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play Music and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
The Few Nuts!
And our super-duper secret Tolkien-centered show, The Secret Fire Podcast. Shh. Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Whew! Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else, matey?
It was tied to an anvil.
And that is a wrap!
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com.